day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind. It blew into that upper room and baptized all of them. Oh, with a power greater than any earthly foe. Oh, and I'm so glad I've got it too. I want to let the whole world know that greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Oh, let's sing it one more time together. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Amen. Amen. You believe that tonight? God bless you. I got a testimony I want to share this evening from Sister Heidi Byerly. Said, I would like to thank the Lord for touching my body about 6 weeks ago. I had a lot of pain in my joints caused by psoriasis. Today I can clap my hands and praise my Lord and Savior with no pain. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. What a fitting testimony after that song. Greater is He. Greater is He that is in us. And we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Sister Heidi also requests that we pray for her granddaughter, Dahlia Byerly. She's home with chest congestion, needs a touch from the Lord. So we want to remember her this evening. And also, Brother Kenneth Wright had texted me and forwarded a message to me from Brother Abel Smith, who was requesting special prayer for his mother. Preliminary tests look like she's diagnosed with cancer that has spread into the bone and possibly to the head. So we want to remember her in prayer this evening. And also Brother Kenneth asked that we remember him. He's traveling back home from New York. And then Brother Stephen asked that we remember Sister Gloria in prayer. She's driving through a spring blizzard in the Minnesota, eastern South Dakota area, so we want to remember her for traveling mercies. Sister Stephanie Duvall, she's not feeling well this evening. We want to remember her. Also, Brother Buckle's not feeling well. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one of those. Brother Hoover, would you come this evening and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Lovely Lord Jesus, so good to be able to come into your presence like this. Lord, there's thoughts on our mind and there's things, Lord, that try to burden us down. But Lord, when we come into a place like this and gather together, Lord, you lift us up and you cause us, Lord, to realize that as we sing, you are greater, Lord, than anything that could come into our life. And we just thank you, Lord, for this place of refuge that we have, Lord, that we can come aside, Lord, from the world, and we can just gather together in your name and just have communion with you, Lord. That's what we desire. Lord, I just want you to speak to me tonight. I want to be able to just worship you and speak to you. Lord, as we bring these requests to you tonight, we don't have the power, we don't have the ability in ourselves, Lord, but Heavenly Father, we know that there's nothing that's impossible with you. And so we believe your word over every lie of the devil. And we believe, Lord, that you're healing people even as we speak. We believe that you're setting people free, Lord. We believe chains are dropping, Lord, your Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because of anything that we could do or because we say anything special, Lord, but just because we have faith in your word. And you honor your word, Lord. You don't come and back up a man. You don't come and vindicate a person. But, Lord, you vindicate your word in our midst. And we are under expectation of that tonight, Lord. Our souls are reaching out, Lord. We're hungry. We're thirsting. And your word says if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall be filled. Lord, we pray that every person would go from this room tonight filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And with the love of Jesus Christ in their heart and their soul. We just bring these things to you now, trusting, Lord, your Jesus, that you already have worked it out. You've already paid the price. Lord, we just write the check, and we believe that the Bank of Heaven will back it. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This is 8 in your hymn book.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, I'm pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. And many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Oh, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win.
When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, oh, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep, and he leads me gently on through this world below. Oh, he's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Let's try this song tonight. If you don't know it, it's number 647 in your hymn book. Oh, long years ago, went out in sin. I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Oh, it makes me happy, glad and free. Oh, I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, oh, he comforts me. Through faith in him or sin, I have the victory. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Oh, it makes me happy, glad and free. Oh, I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. He'll save you, cleanse you, give you joy and peace within. Oh, I never shall. My soul were rolled away. Oh, it makes me happy, glad and free. Oh, I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, he comforts me. Faith in him or sin, I have the victory. Oh, I never shall, glory, forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Oh, it made me happy, glad and free. Oh, I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Oh, long years ago, went out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. Oh, I never shall. let's sing it again together. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Oh, it made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Amen. I believe you came to have church tonight. Amen. God bless you. Well, I felt led to have Brother Layton speak for us this evening, so we want to invite him to come at this time. You just come expecting, and I believe we're just going to have a good service and a good time in the Lord. But let's just sing that as he would come. I never shall forget the day. Amen. When Jesus does something to you, you know, there's something about it. When a woman gives birth to a child, even Jesus said, you know, it's possible that a woman could forget that, but he said, I'll never forget you. But there's something about that experience. Usually, you know, you remember a birth. And so if you've ever really had a birth, there's something about it. You never Amen. Will forget when Jesus Christ did something in your life. Right. Amen. Oh, I never shall forget the day. Sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. He'll save you, cleanse you, give you joy and peace within. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul. Sing it again.
I was laughing because I said he would pick one that I don't know the words to very well. I like the song, but I Amen. Haven't got the words down real well, but that's all right. I'll just stand up here and let you sing it. A little nervous tonight, but I'll be all right. I've wrangled with this little message. My wife knows. I said, yes, I'm going to preach it. No, I'm not going to preach it. Yes, I'm going to preach it. For about 3 weeks, I've been fighting back and forth and back and forth. And I've tried this message. I've tried that message. And I've tried another message. And I'm stuck with this one. I don't mean that in a bad way. The Lord knows my heart. We just want to do what he wants. Amen. So if you bear with me as we start with this, I don't want to be too long. Baptism tonight, so we don't want to be real long. Now, I'm not exactly completely tech savvy. I'm not completely ignorant, but I don't have it for the, I started to say scoreboard, for the, was that the U of L or U of K? I don't have it for the monitor. Forgive me, Lord. So we'll go halfway retro. I've got it on my iPad, but I don't have it on papers tonight. And I thought I was going to have to print it out if I didn't get this thing loaded. And I finally, Andrew forsook me this afternoon and took off. So I had to figure it out by myself. My tech left. But we made it. Struggled through it. But paper would have been fine with me. I'm still retro. But we're going to try and do a little talk with you. You can call it teaching, you can call it preaching, or whatever you want to call it. But let's do this so we don't keep you standing any longer than necessary. Let's bow our heads and go to the Father then, just before we start. Almighty God, as I bring the people and come before that throne of grace and mercy, seeking that very thing we need, Lord. We need mercy and we need grace from you. Yes. I ask you to help me, Lord. Realize I'm speaking to some of the cream of the crop. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. Right. I know she's scattered around the world, but we have some of them right here in this little building that you've provided. I certainly don't want to say anything wrong or lead them down a wrong path. You know, Lord, that's always been my desire as a minister, not to say anything wrong to the people. So, Lord, I just have, as I have done several times today, now again before the people and before you, I ask you to come. Help me with this tonight, and may the people be encouraged, and may they be blessed, and may you get the glory for it. And I ask that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just before you sit, I would like to read from Ephesians, the third chapter, in the first five verses. While you're turning, I would like to give our pastor some roses while he's still standing, while he's still alive. I've been in a lot of churches in my 54 years in this message and visited a lot, belonged to a few since we lived in California, then Arizona, then Oklahoma, and then here. And all the pastors were good men. I wouldn't want to slight a one of them. But I realize we've all grown over the years. We've come deeper into the message. The Lord has been gracious and patient with us and revealed things to us over the years. But I am really proud that I'm a member of this little congregation here. And I'm proud to have a pastor that's young enough to be my grandson. Maybe even my great-grandson, because I've got a great-granddaughter that's what? No, that's a granddaughter, isn't it? Oh, I better watch that. I've got a great-grandson that's 18. You're not quite that young. I've got a granddaughter that's 30, what is she, 37, 38, something like. So he's young enough to be my grandson. But I have the utmost of respect for Brother Bryant's. I've listened to him preach for 5.5 years, and either he's wrong or I'm wrong. Because I haven't found anything that he's preached that's anti-doctor or anti-message. Let me say it that way. And I'm just wanting to tell him and all of you how proud I am, not because he lets me preach or not because I'm a deacon, but speaking from my heart. And God knows that. Amen. Since we have to give answer for every word, I'm certainly proud in a godly way to be a member of this congregation and have a pastor like we do.
Amen.
One that I believe loves the people, has their best interest at heart, doesn't browbeat them, doesn't beat them over the head with a board and so forth. And I've been around him enough and with him enough, I believe I know, and I believe I'm right. So I thank the Lord for him, and I encourage each and every one of you to keep praying for him, and not just him, but for his family, because Sister Rebecca goes through a lot. As the pastor's wife. And many times, I've said it before, the people, they'll pray for the pastor, most of them, but they'll forget about the wife. But she goes through a lot too. She's there when he's up. She's there when he's down. She's there when he's sick and when he's not. And when he's on the mountaintop or wherever he is, through every trial, every test, every time he gets blasted by email, telephone, or whatever it is, or in person, and the sick calls. And, you know, sometimes you don't realize I've been a pastor for 3 years, so I do understand that. And I don't think I was anywhere near as busy as he was, but I took a lot of heat because of what I preached or what I played. So I understand. But I just wanted to say that, Brother Nathan, Brother Bryant, I love you. Appreciate your stand for the word and what you do. And I mean that from my heart. I'm not just trying to puff him up or anything. I really do mean that. I hope all of you know that, and I know the Lord knows it. Now let's go to the Word. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Not man, the will of God. To the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Please be seated. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I want to title this message tonight, Placing. And I'm taking this because in my humble opinion, and that's what it is, so if you don't fit the category I'm going to speak, just say, okay, well, preach on, brother. I don't fit that, but I'll be glad to hear it because it's the Word. Many people come to the Lord. They clean up their lives. And they get the Holy Ghost and they come to church and they sit down. Right. I've got it. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm here. That's good. But I want to take you beyond that. Amen. In case you don't know it, there's another step. But I've met so many people in the message especially that they don't realize that. They think, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. What else am I supposed to do? So they'll come and they'll sit on the pew and they'll sing some songs with them. They'll clap their hands. Maybe they'll shout. Maybe they won't. They'll pay their tithes and they'll go about their life. And all that's fine. There's not a thing wrong with that. I'm not saying they're lost. They're not. But so many of them miss that next step. But now I've got to start from point A to get to point B. So we wanted to read this about Paul and so forth. We're in the Lord Jesus. And Paul was called of none other than God himself. There was no man. There was no presbyter. There was no organization that put Paul where he was at. It was God. Amen. And Paul was writing about the Lord Jesus and about his call, about Paul's calling and about us. How that we were called and predestinated before the foundation of the world. Now I want you to notice in this book of Ephesus, that book was to the saints. It wasn't to the world. It wasn't to the unbeliever. It was for you and I. Not just the saints back there, but the saints through all seven ages, because we believe it's the word of God and that word don't change and it don't fail. Amen. Now, Brother Branham had this to say on believer's position in Christ. And he said, by the will of God to the saints, he said, watch. And I'm just going to back up what I said. Brother Nathan's taught me one thing. He does that a lot. He said, watch this. It's not addressed now to sinners. Unbelievers, this is addressed to the saints or to the sanctified ones. Right. He said, what the word sanctified means, the cleaned and set aside for service, right. Not the world. It's to the real, genuine believers, not just the fellow that walks around and says, oh, I believe the message. And you've heard me say it many times over the 5 years, the devil believes it. But this isn't to him. This is to the genuine believers that don't believe. It's not up here. Those that get it and they believe it down here. Right. It's to them. It's to you if you're a believer. It's to you if you've got the Holy Ghost. It's to you if you believe you're called and chosen and so forth. This message is to you. Right. It's not to everybody else out there. You can stand there and read this book of Ephesians in any church you want to, on any corner you want to. And I could probably stand here and guarantee you that 99.9% of the people just say, what word Brother Branham used just come to my mind, bosh. I mean, that's silly. I ain't going to listen to that. Who do you think you are? I mean, I go to church and they tell me what to believe. You're not going to stand there and read this book to me. After all, I believe it too. But then you look at them and you realize they don't really believe it. They just think they do. They've got an intellectual revelation, if you want, an intellectual faith, as Brother Branham called it. But they don't really believe it, because if they did, they would line up with the Word. See, there's a difference between believing and revelation. When you really catch that revelation, it strikes your heart, and then something in your heart makes you want to do God's Word. There's no, the pastor said, I couldn't go over here. And the pastor said, I couldn't go over there. And the pastor said, I couldn't do this. And the pastor said, I couldn't do that. And the evangelist said, I can't do this. But what did the Word say? If they were preaching the Word, then it's not them. It's Him talking to you. But if it's not in that Word, just lay it aside. Keep your eye on the cross and walk on down the path towards the high calling of Jesus Christ. See? So it's not to the world. It's not to the church member. But it's to everyone that believes the Word. Yes. Now, John had this to say in John 17 and 1, starting with 1, he said, these words spake Jesus, and it's actually Jesus' words because John's writing them. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes unto heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto as many as thou hast given him.
Right.
Does that strike a note? Paul talking about predestination? And yet here's Jesus doing the same thing, using a different word. Father, you've already given them to me. Predestination.
Right.
What is predestination? It's your destination. Where are you going? If the pastor decides he's going to get out of here and he's going to go up to Charlestown, he's already determined where his destination is. Predestinated where his trip is going. The same thing with you in your life. God has predestinated you to be his child.
Right.
So we have free moral agency. Yes and no. How are you going to change God's plan? If he said, David Hoover, in 2018, you're going to be sitting here and you're going to be listening to one of my children, that Bill Layton, you're going to be listening to him preach on the message placing. How are you going to change that? You've got free moral agency. You can get up and walk out. But he said you're going to sit here. So who's going to get up and what? I'm not saying you walk out if you want to. But I'm saying we're talking about predestination. I hope you don't. But I'm just trying to get you from where Paul talked about. This word is unto who? The bride. This word is unto the chosen. The word is unto those believers. And now Jesus is saying, Father, I thank you. You've already given them to me. Think about it. As I said, I think last time I was preaching, you could stand in a line of a million people down going to your left and a million people going to your right. And you'd look down through there and you can see them. You might not be able to count them because they would go way past where you can see. And out of that 2 million people, you're standing there. God chose you. Think of it. God chose you out of 2 million people. And then you talk about predestination. Sure. But let's continue. The Lord, he said, I'm so glad that as thou hast given him power, wrong place. Yeah, that was right. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he could give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean he's finished the work? Because you were predestinated. It's a finished work. We just didn't realize it. When I was in Pentecost, I didn't realize I was going to be preaching a message called the end time message or the message of the hour or whatever title people want to put on it. But it's the truth of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't know that, but here I am.
All right.
See, but God knew it from before the foundation. I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with glory which I had with thee before the world was. And I have manifested thy name unto men which thou hast givest me. There we go again. He's already gave them to him. Which thou hast given me out of the world, they are thine.
Amen.
Excuse me. Thine they were. And thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words of life which thou gavest me, and they received them. And I have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed and that thou didst send me. Now I pray for them. Now here we go again. Now I pray for them, he says. I pray not for the world.
Right.
Think about it. There's the Lord himself saying, I don't pray for the world. Who does he pray for? Those that the Father has already given him.
Amen.
Of course, I realize that he knew things that we can't know. I can't look out here and tell you which one of you are going to go in the rapture and which one isn't. As Brother Bram said, I can't prove to you that I'm going to go in the rapture, but I believe I am. And that's the way you've got to be. If there's only going to be two people Let's change what Brother Branham said just a little bit, if you'll give me that latitude. If there's only going to be two people out of New Albany, almost said Jeffersonville, which he did, but we're here in New Albany. If there's only going to be two people out of this place in New Albany, you'll be one of them.
Amen.
Because I'm going to be the other one. But that's the way you've got to believe it. I remember I was standing outside of Branham Tabernacle many, many years ago, and a group of six or brothers or so were standing there and talking about this very thing. And they said, then I walked up and they're talking about how that Brother Branham said that there was only going to be two out of Jeffersonville. And I stood there and listened. I said, wait a minute, brothers. I said, you got it all wrong. I said, first of all, Brother Branham did not say there was only going to be two out of Jeffersonville. He said, if there's only two out of Jeffersonville. He said, you'd be one of them. I said, I have news for you, brothers. I said, I'm pretty sure in my heart that Brother Billy Paul's going to be one of them. I said, and I'm going to be the other one, so I'm sorry about you guys. You should have seen the looks I got. One of them said, well, Brother Layton, that's not fair. I said, sorry, brothers. I said, but see, you misunderstood. He said, if there was only two. So you, I said, well, let me give you guys a little grace. Kind of like I said, Brother Billy Paul don't live in Jeff. I said, he lives up in Sellersburg. I said, I don't live in Jeff. I live in the county, so there's room for two of you. But you see, that's the way some people get the attitude. They'll hear something, or as I like to say it, kind of like correcting your children. They only half hear what you said. And before you even get through, they're already going to do what they think you said for them to do. And then when they get done, they find out they were wrong. But you said. No, that wasn't exactly what I said. See, but people do the same thing with the message. They'll hear something and they go off, as the old saying is, they'll go off half-cocked. And they're running with a doctrine. They're running with a thought. They're running with some kind of a message that they think they heard, instead of sitting down in the quiet of the room and listening to the tape and making sure they got it right. And it was, Brother Bram said there's only going to be two out of Jeff. No, he didn't.
Right.
Listen to it again and again and again till you get it right. And then make sure you're one of them if there is only two.
Amen.
See? But what did Jesus say? Oh, I'm so thankful, Father, that you've given those to me that you've already given me.
Right.
Wow. That's cool. I've already got them, but you give them to me.
Amen. Right.
What am I trying to do with them? Trying to show you that there's a group of people that's going to be predestinated.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Bannon said kind of a hard or bad word. He said he liked foreknowledge. Well, that's okay. I like predestination. I like foreknowledge too. For God did foreknow I'd be standing here tonight. God predestinated that I'd be standing here tonight. Same word, same definition, just different. I mean, same, is that right? Same word? Not the same word. No, because one's predestination and one, same definition. I'm looking at Brother Hoover because he's my critic over there tonight. I'm going to pick on him. When he shakes his head no, I go, oh, I messed that one up. No, he's also praying for me. But I'm trying to get somewhere, and I'm having trouble getting there. I'm trying to build to something, and I'm stumbling over my own self. But it's, do you understand the predestination? I'm sure we all, I think, except for maybe the young ones, I think we all understand predestination. God looked down through time, and he knew what you and I were going to do. He knew where we started. He knows what our end's going to be.
Amen.
He knew we were in him before the world even began, before he made one speck of dust. And if we weren't in his mind back then, you're not going to be with him in eternity. It's really that simple. And he already knows. He knew every one of you'd be sitting here tonight. He knows what every one of you are thinking right now.
Amen.
That can be scary. I don't know. But anyway, hopefully you're thinking about him.
Amen.
All right, he said, I pray not for the world. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, see, even as I am not of the world. And I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world. But that, did I read? No, I didn't read that. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, and through thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. How? Through the truth. What is the truth? The word of God. How are we sanctified? By the watering of the word. By studying the word, reading the word, hearing the word, believing the word, living the word. It shows what you really are. If you say, oh, I'm a Christian, and you go out and you don't live life like it, you're not a Christian. We ran into a little gal at the house on the way to the hospital last night, and she said, "Are you Christians?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Would you pray with me?" I said, "Sure." She said, "Well, I'm a Christian." Smoking your cigarette, standing there with your pants on. Okay, well, in her mind, she was a Christian. But we did pray with her. But my point was, see, they're fooled. They've got some pastor that won't teach them the truth. Whether it's for money or whether he's been blinded by the truth, I don't know. All I know is there's professed Christians and then there's real Christians. But listen, back to the message. This word of God is to do what? To us believers. To the predestinated. It's to justify us. And it's to sanctify us. And what is it for? And it's to the, and who's it to? To the called, to the chosen, to the predestinated, as it says, to the elect lady, and it's to the bride of Jesus Christ. See, this word, I was trying to say something to Brenda about this. He said what? He said, for God so loved the whole world. Now think about that. He loved the whole world so much that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much he loved us. Yet he done that knowing not everybody would come. But he had to do it to make a way for those of us that would come. But sometimes we get so tied up in doctrines and ideas and thoughts and somebody else's ideas that we forget it's not that, it's the Word. Amen. It's the Amen. Word above all things. I don't care who's preaching it, it's got to be the Word. Even the prophet of God said, if I ever tell you anything in the name of the Lord that don't come to pass, don't you believe another thing I say. Right. Now that's pretty straight. Amen. I wonder how many preachers would say that. Right. Message preachers. Or any other preacher for that matter. But people say they believe. But here's my point. There's more to believing than just believing.
Right. All right.
Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
You can walk around and say, "Oh, bless God, Brother Brian. I believe this message. I believe this message. I believe this message. But I don't go to church." Do you believe the message? "Oh, I believe this message. But, you know, I have to go run down to the corner store and get me a little drink every once in a while. But I believe." Do they believe it? They said they did. Up here. "Oh, I believe it, but I just can't get up, give that old cigarette. I can't give that cigarette up." Do you really believe it? "Oh, but you know, I believe this message, but every once in a while I just tell a little white lie." And for you young people, "Oh, I have to slip one over on mom and dad." Uh-oh, look out now. You want to talk about being a Christian and yet you don't want to obey the word? You want to talk about being a Christian? You're going to slip one over on mom? "Well, I just told her a little one. It wasn't too bad." Well, I want you to show me in the Bible where it said it was a difference between a big Whopper and a little bitty one. I'm not talking about Burger King either. Is there a difference between a big Whopper of a lie you told and that little bitty, what man calls little white lie? God said a lie is a lie. He said tell the truth. He didn't say, "Oh, it's all right, children. Go ahead and tell mama a little white, little one. It'll be okay." He didn't say that. He said, "Speak ye the truth in all things." So the word is what we have to be what? Cleansed by. I am getting there slowly. I'm building on it. I don't know, remember what time I started, so I got to watch this. Let me go here on indictment. See if I can pick this up a little quicker. Now, he says, they didn't know it. Speaking of his message, Brother Branham was on indictment. He said, they didn't know it. Today, men walk ignorantly. Oh my, isn't that terrible? And they don't know that that's the truth. And they think it's some kind of an ism. They don't dig down deep enough. Here you go. They don't dig down deep enough to get into the spirit of revelation. They don't pray enough. Oh my. They don't call upon God enough. They just take it lightly. "Oh, well, I believe what Brother Branham said. Yeah, I heard what he said about that, Brother Brian. Yeah, I believe that's right." Do you really? "Oh, well, I believe it's God." Sure. He said the devil believes the same thing. The devil believes more than some people claim to believe. The devil believes it and trembles. He said, but people, they just go on. They believe it and go on. But the devil trembles knowing his judgment is coming, and the people believe it and don't pay no attention that judgment's coming. Think about that. Isn't that a sad, sad thing to think that people will sit and listen to the message of the hour and get up and walk out the door just exactly the way they came in? Oh, excuse me, that's wrong. He said you couldn't do that. Worse than they came in. Boy, thank you, Lord. See, that's exactly right. If you walk out of here tonight and you don't take heed to the Word of God, even if it is Bill Layton preaching it, if it's the truth and you don't take heed, you're not going out of here any better. You're going out of here worse. You cannot go. If you don't go forward, you can't stand still. As Brother Bram said, you're either going forward or you're backsliding. Now, you may not go out and deny the message like some do. You may not go out and do real bad things like some of them do. But you're either moving forward or you're going backwards. There is no standing still. It's like saying, well, I'm going to sit on the fence. Oh, no. The devil owns the fence. Which side do you want? His or God's? But here's what, let me see. Did I finish that? I did. They don't pay no attention. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. There's a group that says, I believe, right? And then they just go on about their business, shall we say. But there's a group that believe, and they do more. Think about it. And who is that? The only ones that can do it. The predestinated ones. Right. Nobody else can do it. It's like the little lady, I think, wasn't Brother Bram tell about, or Brother Billy tells about it, I believe it is, about the little lady that I think there maybe is a man, I always heard it was a lady sitting in one of the meetings, maybe on the front row or second row or whatever, and the preacher's preaching this thing and saying, oh, nobody can live this message that William Branham preaches. Nobody can live this message and so forth like that. And she raised her hand up and said, I know somebody that can. Sure. Who? The Christians. The Holy Ghost-filled, predestinated, called of God, justified, sanctified, and so forth, they can live it. Amen. The bride can live it. Amen. Nobody else can. The rest of them are just either putting on an act which makes them a make-believer, or they're an unbeliever. Either way, they're not in where they should be. Now, Romans said this in 8:30. He said, moreover, whom he, speaking of God, he said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Right. Who? The called ones, they believe. The called ones, they can live it. The called ones want to do everything to please the Father. The called ones, the predestinated ones. I wanted to go through with this. Oh, I want to read this. Oh, them who he justified, he also glorified. I got curious about that. Brother Nathan gets me when he does all these things and puts them up on the board, and then I get to reading something in the home, the Bible or the message, and then I have to go to look. Now, what does that word mean? Now, what does that mean? Now, what does that mean? Glorified. You ever thought about what it means? We know what predestination means. We know what justification means, as though you didn't do it. We know what sanctification means. It means you're cleaned up. You've turned around. You changed your life. We know what repentance means, which is to repent, is to turn around and go back. Sanctification means you cleaned up your life. Glorified. Let's look at the negative first, shall we? The opposite of glorification or glorified, which is condemned, criticized, censored, damned, disapproved, dishonored, refused, degraded, humiliated, mocked, and shamed. That's you if you're not glorified in, and you can't glorify yourself. You can only glorify him, and he's the one that glorifies you. There's not one thing you can do to glorify yourself. You can't even clean up yourself. You can't even justify yourself. It's all a work of grace given to us by God himself through Jesus Christ. But now let's look at the positive side of glorification or glory or glorified, I mean. Which means to be adored. Oh my. We're adored by the Father. Isn't that precious? Hallelujah. Oh, it means to be consecrated. Uh-oh. Maybe we better not ask that question. I'm not trying to be facetious. But when you think about consecrated, I probably have to ask somebody smarter than I am. Maybe Brother Dave, I should have looked that one up. Maybe Brother David could tell me what consecrated. Give me a nice long list of what it means, but we won't do that. Exalted. Oh, there we go. Oh, some of us, oh, we like to be exalted. Oh, look at me. Bless God, I'm a message believer. Let me tell you what. Oh, I believe what Brother Branham said, and I, you know, I this, and I that, and I this, and I that, and I was here, and I went there, and I saw this, and he told me that, and it's I, and I, and I. What'd he say? The way to be exalted, what Paul says, to be abased, which means you want to go up, go down. Exalted, but not by me, not by you, not by man, but by the Father.
Amen.
Oh, to be holy. Boy, I hope you keep that mirror covered up tonight, because I may not want to look in it after this. Oh, I like this one, though, because this fits me. He said, to be redeemed.
Amen.
To be revered. Well, maybe by the Father, I hope. Rewarded. There we go. See, some of these we like, and others we go, oh, that hurts. To be saved. And then we have one that so many people think that they've got, and I wonder if they do, to be spiritual.
Right.
Some of them want to turn everything you talk about into spiritualism. Everything Brother Branham whispered or uttered or grunted or groaned or, that. We won't go into that one. It's a whole other doctrine. But not everything is spiritual. I mean, we're men. We're women. We're human beings. We walk through life. We have, well, if you go through a trial, you're going to say, I'm spiritualizing my trial. It was a trial. You either passed it or you didn't. If you passed it, now you can be spiritual. But when you're going through it, man. If you think that's wrong, ask my wife about last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's why I didn't make the funeral, Sister Lori. I was going through something I have never. Brenda's been married to me 54 years, and she's never seen it. The devil hit me so hard Monday morning. I'll share a little bit. I guess it's all right. Share a little bit with him. It's about me, so I ain't going to hurt nobody but me. Won't hurt me because the Lord came through. I won't go into all the details. But let's put it this way. I woke up from a dream. I know who the dream was about. But I can't tell you what was in the dream because I don't remember. Something was said, something was done, and all of a sudden I woke up. And when I woke up, it was like an oppressive spirit was on me, and I could not shake it. Now, I woke up happy. I woke up aggravated, you know, from dreams. You know, and then you say, oh, that's just the old devil trying. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I couldn't shake this thing. And as the day went on, it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. I told Brother Nathan the other night, I said, I felt like I was caught in a room that I couldn't get out of. And it was such an oppressive and depressive spirit that it just had me going and going and going. And Brenda would say something, I'd snap. Brenda would say something, I'd snap. And then a few minutes later, I have to go back and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. Forgive me. And she being as sweet as she is, she does. But I'm saying it was so bad that my stomach was so upset and I was so nervous, I couldn't even stand myself. And yet God wouldn't answer. He would not answer. I'm not going to spiritualize that. That was a battle, believe me. I said, tonight when I get to bed, I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up in the morning, everything will just be hunky-dory. You know, you'll sleep, you'll rest, and you rest your mind, you'll rest. That's a terrible night. But we made it through the night, and the next day wasn't as bad. And Wednesday was even better. So the Lord did get me out of it, but it was slow. And it was tiresome. And it was hard. So you see, I just said all that because I said something about it. That wasn't even in my notes. It wasn't even in my thoughts. But I want to share that with somebody. Maybe it'll help them.
Amen.
The devil comes in like a flood, and boy, did he. But he said, Brother Bam taught us, and the word teaches that Jesus said he would raise up a standard. He said, that's his word.
Amen.
He'd raise up his standard against it.
Right.
He did. He delivered me. Sure. Did I sin? No. Did I make mistakes? Yes. Did I make them right? Absolutely.
Amen.
You don't want to live with your wife and not make things right.
Amen.
But that's not the reason I made it right, because there's something here that says I snapped at her and I'm the one that she's the one that loves me and I love her. I can't, come on, Bill, stop that.
Right.
It's like you're trying and you just can't pull. It's like you're trying to pull her down into overdrive and it won't go. It's stuck. You're going in reverse. But God finally lifted the fog. He finally lifted that battle. So am I justified? Absolutely. Am I sanctified? Absolutely. Am I predestinated? Absolutely. Am I saved? Absolutely. Am I revered? Absolutely. All these things I read, not by me, by Him.
Right.
See, rewarded, saved, spiritual, unprofane.
Right. Amen.
Ooh.
Amen.
So you see, all now that is what it is to be glorified. So when He's justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and already glorified you. Think about it. Already glorified you. My. We should be, no wonder Brother Ram said we should be the happiest people in the world.
Amen.
Sometimes I wanna look up here, not I've been in churches, not this one so much. I've been in churches and you get up there and I want to look out there and say, what is wrong with these people? I want to say, are you people happy? How many are happy? Raise your hands, you know. And you see hands go up, and I say, why don't you notify your face? I'm serious. They sit there like, oh, I don't know. I had a rough day today, you know. My wife got mad at me, and she burnt the potatoes, and she didn't fix my favorite meal, or she didn't do that. And the kids gave me a bad time, and this went wrong, and that. Instead of going around and saying, well, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way.
Amen.
See? No, I say, oh, the devil's got me. Oh, I'm sorry. You shouldn't say that. But you see, I'm serious. People take it that way instead of doing it the other way. What I remember that what brought that up was a thing of Brother Branham when he said things, what? The kids were fussing and fighting and this was going on and whatever was happening. And what did he get over there? Started doing the dishes and singing a song.
Right.
He said it wasn't just a little bit and everything, just the whole atmosphere changed in the house.
Right.
How many times I've seen that even in my own house. If we can just get our mind on Him. And here, think of this. Remember who you are, people.
Right.
Put a smile on your face and say, thank God He saved my soul. Do you realize every time you walk in that door back there and every time you walk out of that door, if you go out the center, you're walking under a cross.
Amen.
It's not the one He's hung on, but it represents the one He hung on. And there's that imaginary red line that goes across there we talked about putting down there, that every time you go across that, you should be able to look up and say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Should be able to be happy in the Lord. Why should we be sad? If they walk in the door tonight and shoot me out of the pulpit, in less than 32 minutes, I guess Brother Branham said, I'll be beyond the curtain time with Him. So don't feel sorry for me.
All right.
Feel sorry for my wife. Well, maybe you shouldn't. I'm sorry. I have to do that because, never mind. I love her. But listen, when I died down in Florida, don't you kid yourself, she didn't want me to go. We talked about this the other day. Was laughing. She says, I didn't hit you that hard. I said, I don't know. My face was bruised for 2 weeks. No, it wasn't. Brother Gary Parker told me, he said, Brother Bill, he said, if you ever want to divorce her, he said, I'm a character witness. He said, I seen it. He said, spouse abuse. He said, boy, she was slapping the snot out of you, boy. She said, don't you leave me like this, Bill Layton. But you see, that wasn't her decision. That was his. That's so I can sit here or stand here and talk to you tonight.
Amen.
All right, listen, let's get back to this. Isn't it wonderful, though, when you think about all these things? You've been justified. You've been sanctified. Almost went the wrong way. Justified, sanctified, filled. I hope you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But you've been glorified. Let's go on now. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, he said, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and called to be saints. And now Brother Bram said saints are sainted ones. To be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So no matter where you are, what did he say? Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be with them. Two or three. So it's if it's you and your wife, Brother Jimmy, Sister Patty, the Lord's with you.
Amen.
Call upon His name.
Right.
See?
Amen.
Think about it. Amen. And people say, oh, you know, there's only me and the wife, and I don't know. Maybe, well, we're kind of not feeling too good. Maybe we don't go to church. Well, why don't you have church in your own house then?
All right.
Pray a little bit. Study your Bible a little bit. Put on a message from Brother Branham. Play that. You may not have to do everything just like you do in church, but turn it into something where He's welcome to come in with you.
Amen.
All right, in Jude, start to say first chapter. There's only one chapter in Jude. In Jude 1 and 1, he said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So what are you doing? What is all this about predestination and justification and sanctification and all that? I'm trying to build you to something I want to say. I'm sorry it's taken me that long to get there, but I've got to build it so you realize, first of all, I've preached that once before, I think over in the storefront, there's who are you? You've got to know who you are. You've got to realize who you are. You've got to realize what you were called for. You're not called just to come in here and sit on the church pew and take up space. God could put a rock on that church pew. But he wants somebody to come in here and worship him and praise him and adore him. That's part of what we come to church for and to hear the word. But I heard Brother Bram said, we come to church to praise the Lord. The word is supposed to correct us and encourage us and strengthen us. But we come to what? To gather together with those of like faith, draw strength from one another, and worship the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for us and what he's not only what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. Let's not get stuck in what he did back there. Let's remember what he's doing right here tonight. Let's remember what he's going to do. Look forward to what he's going to do tomorrow. What's he going to do when you get up and go to work in the morning? Is he going to give you a safe journey or is he going to let the devil take you? All he can do is take you out of this life. He can't get you. See? All right. So we come to church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear his word. This Bible, this message, as I said earlier, is to those that are justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. This Bible tells us where we came from. It tells us what we're here for and it tells us where we're going. It's our, as I like to say, it's our roadmap and it's our guide. It's our instruction manual and it's our training manual. Amen. Think of it. I've got a message that I've preached before called the roadmap. That's what this Bible is. It's our roadmap to get us from here to there. Amen. Now, once you're justified, why are you justified? Because he called you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Think about it. Many are called. Do you stop and think about this, that he called the whole world? He died for the whole world. But he knew they all wouldn't come, but he called and they didn't come. He said he was sent into his own and his own received him not. What was there? 120. And then that afternoon or whatever they come down, the 10 days later when they come out of the room, there was 3,000 added. So 3,100 in 10 days. Brother Nathan, if you got 3,100, Brother Trevor, if you got 3,100 in 10 days, we'd be ecstatic. We'd think we conquered the world. Oh, the Lord gave me 3,100 souls tonight. I wish he would. But it's over in this country. We're gleaning the glean that's been gleaned and it's been gleaned and it's been gleaned. And if you go out here and you can stand and preach all day, all week, all month on the same street corner, and you might get one in that month. Go overseas, ask Brother Trevor. I've been up in some places. You go over there, and they're just dying to hear it. Oh, but what they want, they don't want a bunch of garbage. They don't want a bunch of false doctrine. They want the truth. They want to see love. They want to see the truth preached in the manifestation of the power in the Word of God, the Spirit of truth and power. But they're hungry for the truth. They're hungry when they hear it. They love it. But over here, it's, oh, well. Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I know. You bunch of people in that cult over there, you Branhamites. You men followers, yep, you're right. I follow a man, absolutely. I follow Brother Branham just exactly as he followed Paul, as he followed Christ. Amen. Proud of it. All right. But now, once you've been justified, once you've been sanctified, once you've come in and been filled with the Holy Ghost, you're born into the family. But when are you really born into the family? Have you ever thought about that? I know when you're filled, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whereby you're sealed until your day of redemption. But first, you've got to be justified. And you're justified when? When you believe. Think about it. What did he say? He came to save the world, right? No. He came to save those that would believe. Right. You're justified when you believe. And Brother Bram said on living, dying, buried, rising, and coming, he said that very thing. You are justified when you confess your faith. Right. On that same message, he said he brought out the triumph over the grave, death, hell, sickness, and every barrier and everything that stands in the way of the perfect freedom for the Christian. Everything that you have need of was taken care of, and it was done, been suffering for, and done, been accepted, done, bled for, done, died for, done, rose, and God justified him, and he justifies you to believe it. Amen. Think about it. To believe the word of God. But let me tell you something. That's not the end of it. Just because you're called, you're justified because he called you. But that's not all of it. There's a lot of them that are called, but how many of them are chosen? You can be justified without being sanctified, and you can be sanctified without having the Holy Ghost. If you were at the storefront when we done the tabernacle in the wilderness, the teaching on that, you'd find out then. You can be in the outside of that big tabernacle was the type of the world. They could come into the outer court where they selected their sacrifice and where it was killed and where it was washed. But they could do that. They could be justified by coming in and doing that and then turn right around and go right back out into there into the world and do the very same thing they did and come right back in and do it again. Right. Some of them would come that far and then they would go into the inner court where they could partake of the word and walk in the candlelight and kneel at the holy altar. But them, they also could walk right back out into that outer court and right back out into the world. And so they can today. And so they have for all these years since Christ has come. They can come in and they can go out. And they can come in and they can go out. Well, bless God, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I want you to sometimes think about it. This little group sitting right here, even like this morning, 150 some people sitting here. We had Baptists. We had Methodists. We had Pentecostals. We had Catholics. We had, I want to say Amish. Is that the right word? Your mother was Amish. Is that the right one? Yeah. Okay. We had all of that. Think about it. All of that sitting right here, and maybe some that I didn't call. Maybe there was some Nazarenes or some Pilgrim Holiness. I don't know. But think about it. All of that sitting right here. Some that were raised in the message. All of that sitting in this one little group. And what keeps them here? I trust it's the Holy Ghost and the hunger for God and more of him in the Word. Amen. See? But they have the right thing. Get up, walk out here and say, okay. There's been some born in the message, raised in the message, and walk away from it. There's some that was raised like our brother Joel back there with Catholic and some other Catholics and some others, and they come into the message and they hang on to it and they stay on there because they know it's the word of life. See, so we've got all different kinds sitting here. The net was cast and we brought in fishes and they brought in snakes and they brought in polywogs and brought in all this, but there was fish in there. And those fish are what? They're genuine fish. They're not no hybrid, no make-believe or anything else. They're genuine fish. But then they come down to they believe what they are. That's the word you and I have got to get. We have got to believe who we are. Amen. We've got to believe we're the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the authority over yes. Satan. We don't have any power, but we have the authority to use the power. And the power is the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. And we have the right to stand there and challenge that devil and tell him he's a loser and tell him he has to leave and tell him he can't hold God's children. Amen. As the pastor was saying this morning about those talking about Brother Branham and the sin coming up, those that would repent and come up. Yes, there is a confession of the sin. But I don't mean to correct the pastor, so don't get mad at me. It takes more than just to confess. Oh, yeah, Brother Nathan, I've done wrong against my wife, brother. I've done wrong. And turn right around and go out and do it again. Yes, right. I know what he meant. He meant not only did you confess you were wrong, you asked forgiveness for that thing and turned your life around. Amen. That's what it is. So we have to know who we are, that we have been called, that we have been chosen, that we have been justified, that we have been sanctified, that we have been filled in with the Holy Ghost. We are sitting in heavenly places, that we are the children of God, that we have a right to speak the word, that we have a right to have dominion over the dominion. Is that the right word? Dominion over the devil. That we have a right to tell him, you can't hold God's children. Amen. It's been too long that the people are sitting back and saying, well, now you can't speak the word, Brother Layton. That's the third pull, and only Brother Branham can do that. That's not what the Lord Jesus said. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, not in the name of Trevor Eamon, not in the name of Joel Harambasic, not in the name of Bill Hamby, in my name. And who was he? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatsoever you ask in my name, right. I'll do it. You know what the catch to that is? Another place he said, in faith, believing. So if you ask, you got to believe he's going to do it.
Amen.
Believe it. Lord, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I have this need. Satan's got one of my children sick, or my mother sick, or my wife sick, or my husband sick, or some member of my church sick, and Satan's a liar, and I'm coming against him in the name of Jesus Christ. And Satan, you let that brother or that sister go. You can't hold him any longer, because it's promised that God would do what I ask him.
Amen.
See, that's where it is, to know who you are. Now, I've got to hurry, because where am I at? Who am I? Okay. All right, we covered that. But listen, what I was trying to do was go into the outer court, into the inner court, and then you go, there's the Holy of Holies too. That holy place, which is also the inner court. Then there's into the holiest of holies. Brother Bram said, if you ever enter into there and that curtain falls, and when that curtain falls behind you, he said, you'll never get out. It's not even a matter of getting out. It's a matter of you don't want to get out. Think of it. If you ever once enter into there with that Holy Spirit and it was just you and God alone and you get that revelation of who you really are, you don't want to go back out into that old filth and that old garbage out in the world and walk back out into that holy place where it's a man-made light or a man-made doctrine or a man-made idea or anything else. What you want is the true Word of God. You want the revealed Word of God. You want to know God in his righteousness because he dwells in you. But that doesn't matter whether you're 13 years old or 113 or if you're 7 or 107. What matters is you want to know God and you seek him till you find him.
Amen.
I'll give you an example because I'm getting right to where I'm close to where I want to go. Called, chosen, sealed. Brother Bam talked about the boxcar, so let's use that. They pull the boxcar and they got to pull it over here on the siding. And then it's got to be loaded. And it has to be loaded properly. The loading, of course, you understand, is a type of the word. You're the boxcar. You've come into church. You hear the word preached. That word goes into your heart. But the word's got to be loaded in there the right way. It can't be false doctrine. It can't be man-made ideas and all this other garbage. It's got to be the truth of God loaded into your heart.
Amen.
And it's got to be loaded in there right. It can't be just thrown in helter-skelter and here and there. And I'll put a little over here and a little over there and I'll go out and do what I want. No, sir. It's got to be loaded in there. It's got to be loaded tight. It's got to be loaded good. And then the inspector comes along. And he checks that. Okay, that's loaded. Now, the word's in there. I'm going to put my seal on that.
Amen.
That's as far as most people get in this message. You ever think about that? You say, well, Brother Layton, what else is there? There's another step. Most people miss it. Now, that car is sitting right there on that track. It's filled. It's sealed. It's ready to go. All it does is sit there. Kind of like a lot of people in church. Somebody's got to take that car, put it on the track with all the other cars behind the locomotive. But let me tell you another one. That car can't go just any place. You got 100 cars down that line of trains, 100 cars in that train. Where does this car go? It's got to be in the right place so when that train goes and it meets a destination, if this car is supposed to be the last one and somebody messes up and puts him up here at number 50 and that train gets there, how are they going to get that car? They've got to unload 50 cars to get that one because somebody messed up. It wasn't loaded in the right place. Somebody decided, oh, that needs to be here. But the master loader said, no, it's supposed to be here. That's you. That's me. What are you talking about? I've been baptized. I've repented. Been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I sing specials or I sing in the choir or I play the instruments or I'm a song leader or I'm a deacon or I'm a preacher or I'm a trustee or I'm this or, well, I'm just a person that goes and I pay my tithes and I sit there and I, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I go to church and pay my tithes. Yeah, that's right. But where do you fit in that train?
All right.
This train is bound for glory, this train.
Yeah.
You know that one, don't you, Brother? Yeah, you know it, don't you? This train is bound for glory, this train. See, that's it. Where do you fit in that train?
All right, brother.
All what I'm saying, let's just put it back in just plain English. Once you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got to find out where you fit in the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can be a pastor. Not everybody can be an evangelist. Not everybody can be a teacher. Not everybody can be a prophet. Not everybody can play instruments. You don't want me playing them. I can sing, but I don't like to lead songs. I just not in me to lead songs. Brother Furman does a great job. I don't want his job. Brother Hoover does a fine job. Brother Nathan asked me long ago to do it. I said, not me. But you see, you have to fit where you got to find out where you fit in the body.
Amen.
You may be a prayer warrior. Brother Ben said, people say, I want to be a preacher. He said, no, you don't. No, you don't. People hanging on to what you say, and if you say the wrong thing, the wrong way, the wrong time, or whatever it may be, boom, ask the pastor. But word is not worth what you want. It's not even what I want. It's not even what the pastor wants. What does he want?
Amen.
Amen.
That's what you've got to find out. That's the fourth step. Fourth step to salvation? No, it's just another step. You're already saved. You were saved when you believed. He said you were. But from there, you had to start growing. You had to get sanctified. You had to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And now, Lord, you fill me with the Holy Ghost. I believe your word. I've got it. I know it's right. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do in this local assembly that I'm in? What do you have for me to do? It's like your body. You think your body, when we're all feeling good and everything's working fine, this is just great. Walk through the house one night and kick something with that little toe and tell me how well it is. Then you're walking around, you didn't realize how important that toe was, did you, till you kicked it, or hurt it, I mean. You say, that little toe ain't important, really? Maybe that little toe should try to be the nose. Won't work, it'll look kind of funny, especially on me. Smash your finger in the door or something sometime, and tell me how important one of them fingers are. You don't think much about fingers, you just do what you're supposed to do. Smash them one time and let's see how important it is. Ask Brother Luke how important the back is. I've had a lot of back trouble. God healed me of it, so he's going to heal Brother Luke.
Amen.
That's why I could pray for him like Brother Nathan did this morning, because I know I've been there and I know what he can do.
Right.
But you see, let that back hurt. You don't think, we're young, we're strong. Well, I'm not, but some of you fellas are. Ben, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, and you can do that. But hurt it one time and find out how important that back is.
Right.
Get a crick in your neck and find out how important it is. You don't want your neck taking your knee place. Ask Sister Jeannie how important the knees are. See? We take our body for granted, and so do the people in the churches. They take the body for granted. They think, everything's running fine, but where do you fit in that body?
Amen.
What's your job?
Amen.
Brother Ben said there's more to it. There's another step. What is your place in the body? He said, I can't be pastor. No, I can't either. What about this? What about, I don't know. You talk to him. It's not where I want you. It's not where the pastor wants you. It's not where the deacons want you. It's not where the trustees want you. It's where God wants you. That's what you've got to find out. You've got to seek him and find out where. He may not want you to do nothing but be the person Brother Branham talked about. How many of you know who Brother Branham said the most important person in the church was? Really? Brother Hoover probably does. He's grinning at me like I do Nathan.
You don't call him.
I'm not calling anybody. I'm not going to get in trouble. Brother Branham said the most important person was that little woman sitting on the back row praying for him.
All right.
Said the most important person in the church. You mean prayer? Yeah. Because he said, when I'm preaching, and you feel, and it's not here now, but he did, and I've felt him when I've been out. I'm sure Brother Trevor has. You feel them things coming at you. You say something, they go, whoa, man, you feel that spirit come back at you. They don't accept it. They don't believe it, or they're against it, or whatever their reasoning is. So you want people praying for you while you're out on the field. You want pastor wants people praying for him when he's up here, praying while he's studying. Who's the most important person? The prayer warrior. Oh, the deacons, everybody knows who the deacons are. Most of you know who the trustees are. You know who the pastor are. You know who the musicians are. You know who the song leader is. Most of you probably even know who the teachers are of our classes. But the one that don't even know who the janitors are. But they don't know who the prayer warriors are because they pray in secret. And that's what God wants. Enter ye into your closets and pray in secret, and I'll reward you openly. What do you mean openly? What a spiritual life. Because they pray, they pray, they pray, they pray, they pray. You see, you've got to find your place in the bride of Jesus Christ. Now.
You're just talking about these preachers with these people over there at the board.
I told Brenda it's the board of correction. Yeah, most of you probably know what I'm doing. This was every one of us.
That's right.
Out in the world. I couldn't get any dirtier. I tried, but I probably could have if I had a week or two or a month and bury it and then dig it up, but I might have gotten in trouble. But I did this on purpose to make a point. I picked that glass. I'm trying to make a point to you. I picked that glass.
Right.
Out of all the glasses that Sister Layton had in the cabinet, I picked that one. Out of all the people in the world, that's you. Nice and dirty. I wouldn't drink out of it, I guarantee you. That's you. Mm-hmm. Yet that glass is justified because I picked it. Mm-hmm. Potentially it's sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Water, excuse me. But you know what I meant. That's us. That's you. Right there. But yet God justified you by picking you up out of sin and calling you into service for Him.
Right.
When you got the call, this was you next. You repented. You turned around. You changed your life.
Right.
You decided, you know, He was so good to call me. I know this is real. I'm going to do something for Him. What can I do for Him? Live for Him.
Right.
So you cleaned up your life. And you go to church. That's good. That's good as far as it goes. But that's not good enough.
Amen.
That glass might even pay its tithes. It might even pray. It might even shout. It might even speak in tongues.
Yes, sir.
It might even interpret. Mm-hmm. It might even have dreams. It might even see visions. Think about it.
Right.
Might run all over the church. Might lead songs. Might even be a deacon. Might be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Might be an evangelist. Might be a missionary. Might be a trustee.
Right.
Might be a bump on the log. And that's good as far as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the end of it.
Amen.
Now just imagine this is all the same glass for sake of argument. But then one day,
amen.
I'm not going to fill it full, but then one day, I'm being the master here, so forgive me. I chose this. I caused this. One day I decide to take it out of the cabinet and fill it up.
Uh-huh.
There it sits. Still sitting on the counter. Or on the table, or on the nightstand, or what do you call that, next to your armchair or whatever.
End table.
End table, thank you. Ain't doing you a bit of good. It's just sitting there.
That's it.
I'm dying of thirst.
Come on.
But ain't doing me no good.
All right.
Oh, filled with the Holy Ghost, but ain't doing me a bit of good. But then I pick it up. And I walk back here, and I put it in service. You can drink it if you want to. I don't care. See, now, yes it is. Now it's in service.
Right.
It's not only justified. It's not only sanctified. It's not only filled with the Holy Ghost. It made the next step, and it went into service.
Right.
It found out where it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to be doing. It went into service. That's you.
Amen.
From Zion to Azariah.
Amen.
I have to stop and think of names because I'm up here trying to pray. Okay, who am I going to call next? See, it doesn't matter. That's every one of you. From the Hamby boys to the Eplin boys, girls, boys, excuse me if I don't include you young ladies. to the Johnsons, to the Emons, to the Laytons. It doesn't matter. If you go this far, you were justified, but you got to do something else. If you go this far, that's good too, but you got to do something else. If you go this far, that's wonderful, but let's do something else. Let's find out where you're going to be.
Amen.
Where are you going to serve God at besides just going to church and sitting down? What does he want you to do? He wants you to be a prayer warrior. What does he want you to do? Does he want you to be one to seek him? There's all kinds of things. I don't know where he wants you, and it's not up to me. It's up to you. I know where he wants me. He's got me in here to help Brother Nathan and to be a deacon and to help you people and do anything and everything I can. That's to serve him. And what did Brother, let me tell you, Brother Bram said, you want to serve God? How many of you know how to serve God? He said, serve each other. Just like he said, you want to get your healing? He said, pray for somebody else.
Amen.
Same thing. So you want to be in service for God? Serve the people. Do what you can. Encourage them. Pray for them. Talk to them. Smile. Pat them on the back. Compliment them. Do nice things for them. Do everything you can to encourage them. Because Brother Nathan can only do so much. I can only do so much. Brother Trevor can only do so much. The preacher, Brother, what's his name over here? Brother Hoover can only do so much. I went blank, Brother David, forgive me. I'm going to hear about that one. Oh, boy. Open mouth, insert foot all the way up to your hip. So, you know, but really, we can only do so much. We can live the life. We can encourage you. We can preach the word. We can pray for you. The Lord can do. We can't heal you. We can't save you. We can't fill you with the Holy Ghost. All we can do is point you to the word, point you to Jesus Christ, tell you how to get there and what you expect when you're going to get there. Once you get there, you've got to take over and find out, Lord, where do I serve you? Where do you want my boxcar at? In what part of this train do I fit? In this church, where do I fit? Do I fit on the back row? Do I fit on the front row? Do I fit on the side row or do I fit on the outside? Do I fit on the inside? But somewhere in this church, besides sitting on a bench pew, you've got to serve God in some way. And you are the only one that can find out what that way is.
Amen.
I can't tell you. None of us preachers can tell you. Nobody can tell you except for God himself. And it's up to you to seek God and find out where you belong. That's the placing. Brother said it's justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then placing.
Yes.
And people miss that fourth one. They think, well, I've got her now. I got the Holy Ghost. Yes, you have, and you've got it made. When he called you, you were justified, and you believed you've got eternal life already.
Mm-hmm.
Now, boy, that's a hard one for Pentecost to swallow, believe me, because I come out of it. Oh, wait a minute. You've been done. That's what he said. Whosoever would believe on me. He didn't say change his life and do everything this, this. I don't know where they're going to fit in this scheme of God, but he said it.
Amen.
So that one does. That one does. That one does. But if you really want to get this one and then go somewhere else, find out where it's supposed to go. Find out what God wants you to do with your life. That's what I'm trying. That's what this whole little message is as chopped up as it was. And I hope you follow me along. I had to take you from justification to sanctification to baptism of the Holy Ghost and then tell you, look, you've got this far. Now what are you going to do with your life?
Amen.
You might be a young people's leader. You might be an old people's leader. You might be some kind of a leader, somebody that can just talk to somebody and encourage them. All they want is a smile, a pat on the back, or a handshake, or something, just a kind word. Somebody might walk in here. I walked in here one day. I'd been through a battle and a battle and a battle. And I was standing, I remember Sister Christy, I was standing at the door, and she comes walking up the steps, and she looked at me. She says, what's the matter with you? I'm a Gemini, and so is she. I said, nothing. She says, yes. We're like father and daughter. She says, yes, there is. I know you. I said, I know, Sister Christy. I said, I'm just going through a rough battle. The devil's been beating me up. But just the fact that she caught it and she cared. I don't know what. Maybe she walked off and prayed for me. I don't know. She might have walked off and said, sick him, Lord. I don't know what she done. But the thing is, it helped me because she cared enough to even ask. You know, you people have been married long enough, you know the look on your wife's face or your husband's face, brother and sister Weber, you know how it is. I mean, you can read each other. You've been married long enough. Brenda and I have. She can tell you if I'm in a good mood, a bad mood, a happy mood, a sad mood. Just sometimes she says, just by the way you walk. I said, really? I'm getting older. I see this. And my old military training says, Stand up. Throw your shoulders back. But as you get older, it's a little harder. Of course, I got something dragging it down. She feeds me good. But really, saints, you've got to find your place in the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's what this was about. And then was it that tape you played last Sunday night and Brother Branham hit on place and I went, oh boy, there goes, I'm sorry. Yeah, the great warrior David. Brother Branham hit on that. I said, well, there goes that message. Then Brother Nathan gets up the other night and he started hitting on it. I said, well, there it goes again. I guess I won't preach that. So I started looking at something else and looked, trying to study for something else and praying something else and kept going, boom. I go over here and go, boom. Go over here and I go, boom. I said, but Lord, what can I say? That, you know, your prophet's already said a bunch. Brother Nathan, the pastor's already said a bunch. What am I going to say?
Amen.
All right, brother. Amen. Amen. Every time I say, I'll preach on this. Oh, Brenda, I'm going to preach on this. I'm sitting there and studying. She said, what, did you get it lined out? I said, no, I'm back to placing. Okay, I'm going to try this. I'll go over and study for this. Did you get it lined out? Almost. I'm back to placing. So as chopped up as it is, I trust that you get my point. There's three steps to salvation. But as Brother Bram said, there's a fourth step. Once you get everything else settled, find your place in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Find your place in the local assembly. I can't tell you where that is. You can only do that. That means teenagers, 20-agers, 30-agers, 40-agers, 50-agers, or whatever you are, find your place. You say, well, I've been a Christian for 40 years, and then seek God and find your place. Maybe he's been waiting on you. He's been training you. Now, maybe it's time and you're ready. Now step into it. What Brother Bam say? He can let you go up to him. He can train you for 75 years to get you to do one thing for him.
Right.
Think about it. One thing. So don't get discouraged. Study the word. Pray. If you want to know where you fit, ask him.
Amen.
All right? Amen. Okay, I'm going to quit. Well, I didn't do too bad, Brother Brian. God bless you, saints. I guess I better put these glasses up so I don't get in trouble. I'll pick them up after service. And I will wash the other one. And Brother David, just so you know, I'm not afraid to drink after you. Thank you, Lord. Now, see, I didn't whip you with this. It wasn't too bad. All right. Musicians would come. Appreciate your attentive listening. I trust it encouraged you. I trust it helped you. I was a little broken up, I felt, until I finally got going with it. I thank the Lord for helping me. Anytime I speak, I always need his help. And any preacher thinks they don't, I don't think I want to listen to him. So I love every one of you, appreciate every one of you. And by his grace, we'll all spend eternity together.
Amen.
But you find your place. Young people, older people, old people, find your place in the body of Jesus Christ and serve him. All right? All right, God bless you. I'm going to turn this to who's going to take it. I'm not even going to try and sing. Good thing. Well, he's got up on the platform. He's got back at the door.
Amen. You enjoy that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God's good, isn't he? I'm glad he led Brother Layton down that direction. I'm not sure which one. I don't know. I was wrong. Sorry. See, it's hard to tell sometimes. Is it just justified or is it really filled? But. Amen. I enjoyed that tonight. I'm glad the Lord led him back that direction, but wanted to read you a quote here that I was thinking of when he was preaching that. We have seen his star and have come to worship him in 1963. He says, yes, warriors today, Jesus wants a drink of good old Pentecostal fresh water.
Right.
These denominational stagnated waters is sickening to him. Take the word of God and pull it and cut through all these creeds and things till we can hit that place where there's a fresh drink for him, a real true worship, a genuine heart where he can pour down his, make his word live in this day. Amen. How many's thankful for good filled vessels? Amen. But let's just not let it sit there, but every once in a while let's put it into service, whatever God would have us to do. Now, only I know whether this was the cup that he drank out of in Brother David or not. But oh, my. But no, I'm not scared to do that. You know, the Sister Christy came from a church where they had a common cup, you know, that everybody drank out of. So I don't have any problem with that. But Brother Bram said we should be able to chew each other's chewing gum. And I said, I don't have any problem with that, just as long as I can chew it first. But amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord a little bit together. Amen. Is that your desire tonight, that God would place you, whatever he would have you to do? Amen. We've all got a part. It may just be to witness to somebody at your job, maybe to raise some children that are going to play an important part for the kingdom of God. We all have our different places, but God has something for you. Don't just come to church and fill a pew. There's more to it than that. Amen. Pray for the services. Pray for the leadership at the church. Pray for those that are going through trials or those that are sick or things like that. Be a prayer warrior. Brother Branham, I remember when Brother Layton was sharing that about the prayer warriors, I remember Brother Branham saying at one of the meetings, he said it had been just extremely successful, and he asked the people if they wanted to know why the success of the meetings, and he pulled back the curtain, and Brother Ryan was back there praying, and he said, this is why these meetings have been so successful. So sometimes you don't realize the impact, just your attitude and your prayers and things like that, the spirit of worship that you bring to church with you, how much of an effect it really has. Brother Branham said that the pastor or the evangelist doesn't bring revival in a briefcase. He said, you bring it with you in your heart. Amen. Amen. I appreciated what Brother Layton had to say. I appreciate these brothers. Brother Layton stuck with me the longest. He's been here many years. Brother Hoover, Brother Trevor, Brother Arnie, the different brothers that are with us. But I just wanted to give Brother Trevor a rose tonight. This is his third service today. So he had a family from out of town that he took over to the tabernacle this afternoon. And I didn't think we'd see him tonight because he just got back from Africa and he's got to be tired. But I appreciate that he made it out to church again tonight. So amen. Let's just sing this together before we go into the baptismal service. Let's just have a little bit of worship and then we'll go into that. Amen. Let's sing this together. Is this your desire tonight after a service like that? Oh Lord, prepare me to be a saint.
Lord, and with To me, oh, and he
Being baptized can go down to the basement there, and they'll show you where to change into your baptismal clothes. And let's just sing this as they go. Amen. He wasn't looking at me when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was black by sin. And free that precious blood that covers me. Oh, he wasn't looking at me when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was black by sin. And free that precious blood that covers me. Oh, and he's everything to me. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my son.
sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. Oh, he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, and I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. When I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day,
baptismal song. It's 200 in your songbook. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful line, and toward Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the
great-granddaughter, Kaylee Layton, 7 years old. She decided that she wanted to give her heart to the Lord and to be baptized. She had her choice of Brother Nathan or myself. She asked her grandpa, she says, well, can I think about it? So she took about 3 minutes. She said, Grandpa. So Brother Nathan and I, we don't have any jealousy or any problems. If she wanted him, I would have been just as happy. But it's a privilege to bring her into the water, to bury her with the Lord Jesus Christ in the symbolism of her death, burial, and resurrection with him. So now, Kaylee, let us pray just for a moment before we do this. Heavenly Father, as we bring our great-granddaughter Kaylee to you, in obedience with thy word when you said to go forth and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that's what we're going to do in obedience, and that's baptize her. Father, when she comes up out of the water, may you take her from there. May you use her in her whole life that on this earth, and may you lead, guide, and direct her, and use her in the way that you would have her to you be used. May she be an example to all of her family, Lord Jesus, and may it all be done for thy glory. We ask these things in thy precious name. Amen. Now, Kaylee, I baptize you. I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll claim his promise, he will supply, and we'll walk together, my Lord and I. Well, I'll stand for Jesus.
Young man here is Daniel Weber, and this is Brother Barry and Sister Darla's grandchild, Brother Isaac and his wife's first name. Hannah. I'm gonna be in trouble now. Sister Hannah's son. Like, he had some type of an experience, if I understood right, last Sunday night at the wonderful service that was here. Unfortunately, I left early, but he decided he wanted to be baptized. So we don't want to refuse him. And we're going to baptize him in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray, little brother. Heavenly Father, we now bring our brother Daniel to you. In obedience to thy word, we're going to baptize him in your holy name. Now, Lord, you just take him and use him throughout his life here on this earth. May he, too, be an example to all of his friends and his family and his schoolmates. And, Lord Jesus, may you just take him, as I said tonight, and use him, Lord Jesus. Place him where you would have him to be used. And may you use him throughout his lifetime for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Daniel, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'll stand for Jesus. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray.
Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer before we leave? Brother David Eplin, sorry, when there's several Davids, I guess I should be more specific.
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, what a joy it is to see two more give their hearts to you today, Lord. And we know that one day it'll be that last one that'll come in, Lord, and then it'll be time for all of us to head home. And we don't know that it might have been yet tonight. Lord, we just thank you for the sermon that we were given. As Brother Layton said, it's easy to see the pastors and the leaders and think about their roles, but Lord, the roles of all of us in the church and the roles that all of us need to play. God, please just continue to lead us and help us know your will and to be able to follow your will, Lord God. And Lord, tonight, if there's one that still hasn't accepted you as their Savior, Lord, there's time. We don't know when that last call will be made, but there's still time right now. And if you're calling to them, please let them hear you and take you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we leave here this evening, we don't ever want to leave your presence, God. And we ask that you follow us home. You be with us and our families at work and at school. And keep us always in your will and keep you always first and foremost in our minds. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Keep me burning.